and welcome to searchcontentmanagement.com. I'm Lauren Horwitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group. And today, I'm going to tackle a subject that is on my mind and hopefully is on your mind as well, which is some of the big trends we can expect in 2015. So today, I have with me a couple of my trusty experts. I have Lawrence Hart of Word of Pi, and also Steve Weissman of Holly Group. So guys, thank you for joining me.
You bet.
Thank you for having us.
So now I'm going to shift gears a little bit and talk about one of the sort of the standard issue kind of topics in information management. And sometimes in my office we joke that while it seems boring on the surface, it's very interesting in underneath. So, and that's records management. And there's a lot actually going on in records management. We talked earlier about enterprise content management, and some of these tools enable you to do sort of more sophisticated records management. And there's other things happening, like predictive coding tools being used to kind of help you automate the process of categorizing all these records, search-based applications being built on top to help you find things more easily and categorize. So part of my question is, do some of these developments kind of elevate records management to more than just, retention and destruction of files? And is records management poised to kind of be hooked up with other back office information like CRM and ERP and financials and all that jazz? Is this the year where records management gives you a more holistic view of enterprise data? And Steve, I'm going to start with you.
Well, I think I just heard a whole association full of records manager wail and moan and gnash their teeth. Records is way more than just saving and destroying stuff. and it is. I hear your point. For many organizations, records management is an afterthought if it's a thought at all. They have a department, maybe. Most people don't even know about it. I mean, I have two clients I'm working with now that when you get down into the lines of business, they never heard of such a thing. They just do their jobs. So records managers certainly suffer from a PR problem of sorts. I think what's going to happen, I'm seeing signs of it already, whether it's 2015 or 16, I tend to think it's a little bit further out. I don't think we'll hear loud noises in January, for instance. But I think what we're likely to see is the greater incorporation of records functions as part of a broader information management and or governance initiative at companies. It's clearly a very important function. Ask any executive who's been sued or their company's been sued, and they've been unable to come up with the records necessary to defend themselves, which need to be electronic now, by the way. I think the idea of this is definitely percolating broader outside the RM community. But for it to gain that kind of holistic traction, I don't think, unfortunately, that the records people have the political clout, frankly, to cause this change. It's going to be initiated from some other direction, you know, either a compliance officer or lines of business or the CFO or legal, rather than coming from records management outwards.
First of all, I want to take dispute with something you said. Records management is dreadfully boring at times. It's only exciting around 11 o'clock at night at the ARMA conference after we are several drinks in, at which point we later realize we aren't actually talking records management, and that's why we're having fun. Don't get me wrong. Records management is important, and it is quickly becoming irrelevant all at the same time. The basic premise behind records management used to be we need to keep our stuff to meet compliance needs. Then when we're done, we need to delete it because we don't want it around for e-discovery requests or as a burden or because storage is expensive. A lot has changed since then. all of a sudden, storage is dropping in price. The ability to manage it is, while information is growing exponentially, the cost to manage the information from a storage perspective is not growing exponentially. People say, well, we have too many records to manage. Well, that's a true statement. Our, you know, if the number of artifacts that we have doubles this year, the odds of your staff doubling in the next year is zero or less. So you just have to come, we just have to come to reality that there will never be enough records managers on hand to adequately manage the records on our own. So what we just basically have to do is determine there has to be another way. We have to do something different. And that's when you start talking about the predictive coding. And what we're looking at is not records management, but information governance. And what we're looking at the entire life cycle and trying to say, hey, wait, there's value in this information now. Because not only can we categorize it early, which takes the burden off of the e-discovery folks at the end and off the records managers and everyone else, because we can now classify it with a higher accuracy than people, especially when you consider that people don't even classify it sometimes and just let it go or don't even put it in the system because I don't have time to classify it. I'll do it later, which is a lie. They never do it later. It never gets in there.
Yeah.
It sits on their desktop or vanishes in a folder, and they can never find it. If you're lucky, they emailed it to someone so they can search for it there. And so what we're really deciding is that this same technology that lets us classify allows us to actually pull value from this information now. We're getting to the point where we can start asking it questions. You know, everyone talks about big data. Well, we can apply a lot of that same tech as it's evolving to our information, and we can start finding things out. We can start looking, you know, all those stupid little agendas. Well, we can actually sit there and say, well, how often do we talk about this topic, you know, over time? Hey, you know, we've been talking about this since 2003. This all pulls it out. Maybe we should take a different approach. Or we tried this approach 10 years ago and it failed. You know, that information is hidden in that content. And we're getting to the point where we can start pulling it out. So there is actually going to be value in the aggregate of keeping this information. And so all those retention schedules are really more about we can't delete it. We can't let anyone delete it before this time period. After that, if the business decides it has no value, then we will get rid of it. But why bother? Because we can manage it effectively.
So you guys have been alluding to the last theme I want to talk about, and it's what records managers and many others in information management always talk about as the biggest the backbone of all of this, which is governance and information management as a whole. So my question to you is, and this year at the AIM conference, John Mancini, the president of AIM, talked quite a bit about sort of this information chaos that is now consuming organizations. Lawrence, you talked about the price of storage going down. We haven't necessarily talked about the amount of data coming into organizations as exploding, but it is exploding exponentially. So he sort of talked about this information chaos problem that we have, and governance and managing throughout the information lifecycle being kind of the only way out. So the question, I guess, to you guys is this the year that companies kind of wake up to this and say, you know, over the past 2 years, we've produced 90% of the world's data, and we're drowning. We got to do something. We need to turn to governance. Or is it more of the same? And Lawrence, you asked to start out by this time answering this question. So I go to you for the answer.
So I've been doing this 20 years. They've never done it before. Why are they going to start now? Really? So my answer is no. I'm not going to do anything different. There's going to be gradual evolution. And the tools that I talked about previously and the ability to auto-classify and all that stuff is going to allow some forward-thinking organizations to maybe start on it. But even if they started the project, you know, 6 months ago, they won't be done by 2015. And that's just the forward-looking one. I mean, it's not going to happen. I've got a client right now who we're just trying to get them to use one system for one process instead of keeping two different systems plus email just for one type of document. No, this is not going to be the year. It's not going to be the year for years that it really, the organizations wake up and said, hey, we all need to handle this. Because they're like, I dealt with this. I don't care. I'm going to go spend money in that CRM system, which is going to drive revenue.
Well, I'm really tempted just to say what he said and leave it at that. You know, I was thinking it when Lawrence said it. It's like, well, why would they? You know, I liken this to New Year's resolutions. How many New Year's resolutions have people said, I'm going to exercise more, I'm going to lose 20 pounds? And they say it every single year. Why? Because they haven't done it. And I put myself right at the front of that list, by the way. The only New Year's resolution I ever kept was the one to make no more New Year's resolutions. This is the same thing. Organizations, by and large, are used to doing things the way they do things, and this is just how it is. This is the noise of daily business. It's the cost of doing business, if they're thinking about it as a cost at all. The ones that will change fall into two categories, and together they represent a very small percentage, very small, single-digit small, of all organizations of any size. The first of that very small group are the ones that get sued. And they go, oh my gosh, we should have done something. We're never letting this happen again, so we're going to start now. The other, which is minuscule, and I'm very fortunate because I have a client right now who falls into this category, is they realize as they're looking at one particular piece of technology, in this case ERP, that this piece of technology sits in a broader ecosystem of information management tools, and we need to be looking at it more holistically rather than simply rip out our old ERP system and put a new one in. They're rare. They exist, but they're rare. Everybody else, why should I change? Business is fine. We're doing just fine. So 2025, maybe, not 2015.
And what?
Don't be such a pessimist, Steve. It'll be surely in 2020.
Oh, okay.
So what is it down the road that is going to make this more pressing for companies?
It's not going to be pressing. I don't think anything's going to make it pressing. I think the answer really comes down to is when we as an industry figure out how to make it relatively easy and straightforward to do, then they'll do it. Right now, it's too hard. It's too complicated. Almost every company out there has at least one failed project on their books. So this is not something they're just going to take on, no matter how pressing, because they don't have faith that it's going to solve the problem. So until we can build a history of success in this industry, which we have not even begun to do, they're not going to tackle it.
Gee, that was a pessimist, although I tend to agree.
That's realistic. I mean, point to me any statistic in the last 10 years that shows that more projects, just 51% have succeeded.
Oh, that's
not talking a preponderance. Just 51.
No, you're absolutely right.
So
I think the problem is even deeper than that, though, because clearly projects and technologies that really, in a straightforward, simple to understand way, do what they claim to do, that is a big piece of it. But I think more of it's philosophical. I just don't think there's, for most organizations, there's any compelling stimulus to make them go down a technology response. It's just how business is. It ain't really broke, so why fix it? If the tools were easier, I think that would mitigate that somewhat, but not tons, because it is still more of a mindset. It doesn't
And I think it boils down to the fact that information is an asset, but we don't know how to measure it, and people can't make the case for how it's an asset and how it impacts the bottom line. And until we can make that case and figure that out, CEOs aren't going to prioritize it in their budget or in their effort.
Yeah.
I don't want to be all doom and gloom here because, you know, to be honest with you, I think some of the new technologies that are out there, and I think we're, predictive coding and the analytics and, the fact that Box and Dropbox prove that people will put their content into a system if it's easy enough and they see value in it. So I think there's a lot of there's a lot on the horizon that shows that the tide could shift in the next few years. But I think 2015 is at best a year of collecting more evidence and trying more of that stuff out rather than any specific turning point.
Yeah, I'll buy that. And I think, you know, we have the luxury of taking the longer view. If I'm working for a company and I'm being measured quarter by quarter, as a customer or as a vendor for that matter either, I may not be able to afford the luxury of that long-term view to do certain things now, to make certain investments now in my process and my technology so that by 2020 or 2025 or 4:30 this afternoon, I'm ready to do these things because there are budgets to be met and stock prices to keep elevated. And that's part of the challenge, too, is, you know, my client is, I think, really quite unusual because they were given the luxury of time to take the step back and think it through and make a smart investment. I was, and continue to be, blown away by that, but it's very much the minority.
Right. And the client that you describe is the kind of organization that we often talk about in the ideal that, you know, is making a new purchase and thinking about how to manage information holistically. But I agree, it's often the ideal case.
And that ideal case sometimes only lasts one budget cycle.
Yeah,
or,
true.
Or the minute they have a bad quarter, like we have to cut back unnecessary spend first thing on the chopping block. I had one client, they were like, we finally need an ECM tool. We have all these ad hoc things. We need to come in. We need to do an assessment and pick a tool. And that was the project, just do an assessment and pick a tool. It wasn't to do the implementation or any of that. And one bad quarter, it's like, this project's on hold. Because we know we need it. We have massive amounts of content. We manage content for our clients. It isn't just them, but they have content that belongs to their clients. And they're doing it in ad hoc, you know, committee-based ways. And they see the need, they're like, nope, it's on hold because one bad quarter. And, you know, you think, oh, maybe it's only on hold for one quarter. But no, because they're going to have at least one good quarter. Then they say, hey, that made up for that one bad quarter. Let's have another good quarter. And it says, should we do this project again? And who knows?
And why should we? Because we just had a good quarter. See, we don't need that.
Right.
Yeah. It's hair pulling time, ladies and gentlemen.
Well,
Steve, I have one question for Steve.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why are we still in this industry if it's this bad?
I lost a bet. I don't know about you, but I lost a bet.
Well, as long as you guys are in this industry, I hope we can call on you to talk about these topics. And sometimes with a little bit more optimism. That's what I'm going to hope for next time.
Well, don't pick a topic about, is anything going to be different next year? The answer is no. I mean, by default, it's going to be no. We need to have a topic where we're talking about, how's this technology going to make changes? And then we can be much more optimistic.
I see. Okay, we'll work on the dates together for next time.
You got it.
But in the meantime, I want to thank our listeners for hanging with us and talking about some trends for 2015. And for more on content management, check out searchcontentmanagement.com. And until next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz.